Thank you, Chairman. And first, I want to apologize to my colleague from Brazil. As I told him yesterday, I had committed yesterday that I would come and talk to him this morning. I hadn't earlier because I had not had a chance to do a little research I wanted to do. Unfortunately, I was caught up in a bilateral conversation. So it was absolutely my intent to come and engage with him on this issue. So my apologies, my regrets there. Mr. Chairman, when I saw this language in the document, I confess I was a little surprised as I got through it, because my first reaction was, either with every element here, pretty sure we already decided that, or that it is a obvious logical extension of what we have already decided. I'm not sure why we need anything new. Possibly we do, but the first point, the issue about amounts received in arrears. Well, we already have clear language, a decision on this in terms of the handling of arrears and credits in the 2018 report, paragraph 22B and 23C are the relevant provisions. We agreed that books for a financial year would remain open for the following 12 months, that arrears paid in during that period would be credited in and become part of the closing balance for that financial year, that credits would be calculated, credits due to states parties that paid for a given financial year on the basis of the final cash balance following the closure of the accounts for that financial year. So it is a credit. It's not a check or cash. It's a credit against a future assessment. It does go to those that paid for a given financial year. It doesn't specify exactly when they must have paid, except that it's before the time that this is allocated back. There are two questions, I suppose, that technically it didn't address, because, and in fact, the chairman's letter, and the chairman wrote an extensive letter to UNOTA and UNOG that was circulated under a silence procedure, but based on the fact that a previous financial decision by this body had been grievously misunderstood by the UN and produced exactly the opposite result of what we were hoping, it was felt that it was necessary to provide additional clarity. So it was a step-by-step, this is what it's supposed to mean and how it should be implemented. But even there, it did not occur to anyone that we needed to explain what happened if the arrears were paid in following the close of the financial period, which is, my assumption would have been, in accordance with standard practice, it would be booked as miscellaneous income and applied to the current year. That means it would form part of that cash surplus at the end and be allocated back to states in accordance with the provision of 22B. So to me, that entire section of language seems unnecessary, but my understanding is that UNOG felt that without very specific guidance about what's supposed to happen if we've already closed the books, where do we put the money, they felt paralyzed. I'd be inclined to say if we need simple language here that would elide some of the disagreements we've got, it should be booked as miscellaneous income for the year in which it's received and form part of the final cash balance for that year and be allocated back in accordance with the decision made in 2018. It's very simple, very straightforward, and it's in fact the standard practice in every international organization I've ever worked with. And I used to be an international organization budget analyst, and so I had a lot of organizations. Similarly, the idea that the credit calculation should be based on the same assessment rate that was used to conduct the assessment, yes, to us that's fairly obvious. The you know, when you calculate shares, you calculate them based on the same basis when you bill and when you provide back credit. What was the share that they had in the budget at the time? If there's a need to clarify that, we have absolutely no objection to clarifying it, but we found it surprising. I also thought we had already agreed about the invoicing, you know, 90 days before the start of the financial period, if possible. We have no problem with that language, but I was surprised. I thought we had already reached that one. I have one. So I think the issue with the first point can be dealt with rather efficiently in the manner I outlined, and I could work on a form of words and perhaps shop it around if that would be helpful. But the one other point I want to make is, and this is briefly addressed in the chairman's letter from 2018, before 2018, credits were calculated in a different way. They were calculated without reference to how much money had actually come in and were allocated back. So any arrears payments that come in related to years before 2018, and there is, if I remember rightly, approximately $131,000 outstanding for those prior years, we have all already received the credit. The problem is that the UN has a liability, an unfunded liability, because they didn't actually have the money to cover those credits. So that money should not be, you know, banked and given back to states parties. We've already gotten it. It should be used to liquidate the liability. So I think there just needs to be that recognition that the situation prior to those decisions is fundamentally different because the math was different. Thank you.